Hey, Geekscapists, we've got a big Geekscape coming up for you. DC Fandom reveals a whole lot of upcoming DC movie and video game stuff that you're going to want to totally know about. Also, why The Last Man got canceled. Why? Well, pun intended. Also, we got video game news in the form of new Animal Crossing content coming our way. And what else? Oh, yeah, Metroid Dread scares the shit out of me. So get ready for that story. It's all coming up on a brand new Geekscape podcast. Hey, Geekscapists, it's Jonathan. That's me. Like it says in the theme song, it's time for Jonathan to start the show. So in starting the show, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that if this is your first Geekscape, well, strap yourselves in. We talk movies, video games, comic books, TV, all the pop culture stuff. And I talk usually with a bunch of guests. And we kind of either talk about a specific movie or we talk about a specific video game. Maybe they're involved in those things. Or maybe just my friends and I talk about the latest news and reviews. And that's the kind of episode we got for you coming up today. This is episode 608. Can you believe it? 608 episodes. I think the feed actually says there's 750 podcast offerings. Always free. The show is always free, and it's available on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and now Twitter. That's right. That little hell scroller called Twitter, where people go on there to share their umbrage. As we slowly spiral the drain, I think it's actually quickening, as we spiral the drain into basically what I think is going to be a Mad Max future, where we're all running around and like fighting over gas and water and, let's face it, other human beings. That is kind of like what Twitter's for. It's like a barometer for just like how foul we can and angry we can become. We are now available on that. So hopefully we bring a little cheer to the Twitter feed. Maybe, maybe not, but I'm trying, okay? This is Geekscape, and let's get to it. We have tons of news and reviews coming your way. Pretty big weekend. So without further ado, I'm going to talk to my panel here. I've got my good friend, Derek Kranevelt. I mean, if you're going to think, you know, and make something cheerful, you might as well just throw in a Canadian, because they love everybody. So there's
I do.
There's Derek. He loves everything.
I do love.
All right.
Yeah, I'm very excited about most things.
Except haircuts, from what I can tell from your feed. What is happening there?
Well, I just decided to like let myself go about a year and a half ago, more than I had before. So I haven't had a haircut in a while. And then everyone's like, your hair's so nice and long, and I love it, and it's so curly, and it's like a fucking frizz ball.
And, well, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Well, let's use this as your... you know, kind of like stopping point where we say, hey, let's turn it around here. This is an intervention, if you will. Is that
let
okay?
Let us know in Derek? The chat if I should get a haircut or not.
Yeah. You know? Let Derek know if he needs a haircut and maybe some of that other stuff that, you know, you just do a do over, like do like a makeover. Derek, makeover, suggest contacts. Should he shave? Like, what do you think? Maybe color his hair or something. Okay. Well, if this is an actual intervention, Derek, we got to get some friends in on this. People who love you, people who care about you, and nobody cares about you more. Then probably Michaela, but she's not here right now. So we're going to go with Carlos Lopez, also known as Anger Bananas.
Hey, everybody. And Derek, this is an intervention. We need you to cut that hair. It's been a year, bud. It's time to let it go. It's time to let it go.
Yeah. And of course.
Whenever I want.
Oh, boy. That's a lie.
In denial.
Okay. That's a lie I've used to cry myself to sleep many a night, Derek. That is a slippery slope, my friend. You do not want to start sliding
down
that.
It's you in Hades right now, I think.
That's for the game Hades that you and the your own podcast told me to buy. Yeah, that was a mistake. I should not listen to your show again because you hype every game and then I'm like, I should go buy it. And then money goes out of my wallet and then time goes out of my life. So what am I saying? I love Hades. I love playing it. It's a lot of fun. And talking about video games, we have another expert on the show straight from the world of video games. That's Josh Jackson.
Hey, everybody.
He and Carlos are regulars on the Geekscape Games podcast. Derek is a co-host on that podcast, on top of his own Xbox Game Passengers podcast that'll tell you to buy games like Hades. Yeah, we're going to get into this. Folks, I hope you're doing well. I hope you had a good weekend. It was chock full of news. How was your weekend, Josh, Derek, Carlos?
I spent 4 hours trying to buy Yu-Gi-Oh clothes, so that was an experience.
Oh, you went to the pop-up.
Oh, yeah, the Hypeland pop-up. Yeah, spent way too much money on Yu-Gi-Oh shirts.
Jeez.
Okay, so I'm thinking, like, I guess I'm wrong in thinking that Yu-Gi-Oh, besides being for punks, according to El Chucho, Yu-Gi-Oh doesn't have, like, at least, like, a similar, like, pop culture presence as pop. I mean, Pokemon's a juggernaut, but there's not Yu-Gi-Oh shirts just, like, readily available in some places.
These ones sound like they're probably limited edition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's it was done by Hypeland, which I guess is like a kind of a somewhat premium brand. So
okay,
they launched the Yu-Gi-Oh line officially today, but they had a pop-up over the weekend where it was cheaper than normal if you waited until the official release, and they were giving away free stuff if you lined up in the heat for 4 hours for it. So
holy crap!
I thought it was for longer for less. Yeah, I was successful, but I had to show up 2 hours before they opened, and the line ended up going around the whole block. It was like right in Beverly Hills, pretty much.
And okay,
like, the line went all the way around the block. I think by the time it was all said and done, some people were waiting like 6-ish hours to get in.
So I mean, Beverly Hills is where you go for the discerning fashion tastes.
Yeah, like you know, like trading cards on your T-shirt, you know.
Yeah. Are you happy with your purchases, or was it one of those things where once you were like, fuck it, I spent 6 hours in this line, I'm getting something regardless of whether or not I'm actually into it?
Well, the funny thing,
that happens too.
The funny thing is I went for the free stuff. I wasn't even really planning on buying anything,
but
Megan,
free stuff?
Yeah, like for showing up, they gave you like free cards and posters and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Megan was the one who talked me into buying a shirt, and then she bought this hoodie too. So we both walked out with something.
Okay, but you're happy with it, right?
Yeah. Not happy that I happened to do it the day after I spent much more money on the same brand, but Inuyasha.
Okay, so. But if like you want to start your own Inuyasha themed gang, you kind of have like the outfit.
Dude, by the time all the shipping stuff comes through, I'll be able to just pass some stuff out to a whole crew, and we can start rolling, getting the shit going. Let's go.
All right, if everybody is similarly sized to Josh, you have a gang that is looking for members, all right? So you can join Josh's anime-themed gang and take to the streets. Y'all do okay. I figure y'all do okay. All right. We had some big news. I think we should start with all this DC stuff because that was massive. DC has their yearly fandom event where it reminds me of the D23 stuff that Disney does in August, where they say, hey, here's all the stuff coming up in both Disney, Marvel, and I guess, you know, everything Disney, Star Wars, but it's all DC.
And they somehow fit the 12 minutes of trailers that everyone wants into 4.5 hours.
Holy crap. Yeah. Oh, I got to tell you, I don't watch the YouTube feed. I'm not doing the live vlogging for the DC fandom, but I do keep up with like wherever it is, like DC fandom has, there's tons of websites that'll publish all that stuff. Like they'll just like collect them all. Like, I found a really good Variety article that has all the DC fandom stuff in one place. So I just later watched all like the Batman trailer, the Flash trailer, this and that. What did you guys think? I guess we start with the Batman trailer, because I guess that movie comes out in January, February. Hmm. It comes out early next year. What did y'all think of this Robert Pattinson Batman trailer, the Matt Reeves movie?
I could go first if it's okay.
Yeah, go for it.
I like the new look. You know, I think for the most part, every Batman that comes out is supposed to be different, right? A different fandom, especially with like Spider-Man. But I thought this one was pretty cool, gritty. It reminded me a lot of Year One. It does give me like a nice perspective on him being like a complete a-hole and not caring for a lot of people and beating people to a pulp. So that's cool. I like, because you know that was Year One Batman. He didn't get his groove in just yet. And you know, I like where this is kind of going. My only concern is what would happen with the follow up. You know, if they were to do a follow up, like what characters continue? Are we going to see any of these bad guys die? You know,
so I think they've greenlit a follow up, but I also believe that HBO Max has asked for a Gotham like GCPD themed series that cool. connects to this movie. So you're going to get a series of, I guess, police procedural type stuff on HBO Max. It might not be. It might just be serialized and fun. And then you're going to get a sequel to the Batman because it's effing Batman, and Batman movies get sequels. Since y'all are big game players, I got to tell you, the Arkham City, Arkham Asylum, Rocksteady influence on this look and trailer and feel, down to the fights, down to the look of the thugs. Definitely. Like, this is a straight up Arkham City adaptation, it feels like.
Yeah. I saw a tweet today as well from an artist I follow, Francesco Francavilla. Apparently he heard like via IMDb that Matt Reeves said that his influence was huge on the film's design too. So like the film noirish and like low techness aspect of it, mm-hmm. like if you look at like the Batmobile, it's like so like simple, I would say, compared to what we've seen more recently. And
yeah, it's not the tank in the Nolan movies.
Yeah,
the tumbler.
Yeah, it's like a strong Mustang or something like that. So I don't know. It looks like we talked about, I think we had a similar episode to this when the first trailer dropped, and it, I don't know, people were complaining then, as people always do. It looks like badass. It looks like a good time. And
good time, or I want to punch myself because I am grim and gritty and I want to be like Batman and I want to feel pain.
Is that a bad thing though? Like,
I don't Derek, know. I'm worried about you, dude.
What's that?
I'm worried about you.
Like, I understand that the grim and gritty thing is super overdone, and like they're like, what do we, like, how do you know, grim and gritty thing's overdone, what do we do next? And it's like, well, let's make it grimmer and grittier, and people will, you know, like, that's just where it feels like it's going. And I don't know, I enjoy that much stuff just as much as I enjoy the colorful, silly comic book stuff, I guess.
I read like a really good analysis where somebody was like, you know what the thing is, why I don't enjoy Batman is because he is a cop without the legal restrictions of the cops. Like when Batman was created in the early 1940s, late 30s, whatever it was, it was cool to have a Batmobile because cops didn't have Batmobiles. It was cool to have like radar sense and be able to like zip up the side of buildings and have like, you know, smoke bombs and things like that, because cops didn't have it. Now cops have everything that Batman has. The only things that cops also have are legal repercussions for the most part, legal repercussions for their actions. But Batman can beat the shit out of somebody and then just disappear. So he can do all of the brutality that of being like a cop with no limits, with all the weaponry that cops now have, armored tanks, da, 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 and then he just like walks away. So like, where's the place for it? You know, remember when people like canceled the Punisher last year because people were like white supremacists were like using the Punisher logo. It's like, well, Marvel can't really use the Punisher anymore, which, you know, you can argue back and forth on that one. I wonder where Batman's place is in a highly policed society where he's basically doing everything that we accuse the cops of doing. Right.
He'll be with Jeff Bezos. He'll be with Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. He's Big Yang's got it right. He's like, is Batman just Maniac Cop? Yes. Batman is sure. just Maniac Cop. Yeah. If Maniac Cop was a billionaire, you know, so that's, it's like, I gotta tell you, I think it would be really cool. I don't know how it's done to bring back a gray and blue Batman with the yellow logo. And I'm not saying you got to go Adam West. And right. I do think that the Lego Batman is my favorite Batman movie. I think it's fun, but I don't know where this fits. I don't know how far you can go down this road.
That's
kind of like,
well, and do they have to go that far down this road? Like,
this is pretty far down the road, brah.
Well, I just mean like they're like the DC universe as it is so fragmented, and there's these movies that are one-offs and like movies that are in separate universes or multiverses or whatever. Like, they could do this and stop it, and like it's going to make a ton of money, so obviously they'll continue it as long as they can type thing. But is it still, it's still separate from like the Justice League universe at this point, right? Like, well,
my good friend Derek, I'm so glad you asked, because yeah, they can just go to the multiverse and give us different iterations of Batman, or old iterations of Batman as it is, because we also got the trailer for next year's The Flash movie. And this is like the Ezra Miller Flash that we got in the Justice League movie. but it seems like there's going to be a lot more of the DC universe.
Yeah,
it does. The one thing we didn't mention about Robert Pattinson Batman is, like, we first got a chance to see Zoe Kravitz's, like, Catwoman in, like, pretty close up in a lot of detail. We also got a lot of Colin Farrell's Penguin. It's just, like, under a ton of makeup.
Crazy.
And that was, you know, I got to tell you.
That was Colin Farrell until right now.
It's crazy. It's really good. And I'm excited about, I wasn't excited about this movie. I was even less excited when I heard that it's basically Batman versus Saw, like a horror, a straight up fucking horror movie with Batman in it. I will watch it because I like Matt Reeves a lot. This movie looked like an Arkham game, and I definitely sat through every one of those cutscenes, right. So why not? But I got to tell you, this Ezra Miller Flash movie, I was kind of excited about this being kind of to DC what Loki was, the Loki series was to Marvel, in throwing open the multiverse. Mm. You know, you get the Tim Burton Batman, you get Michael Keaton Batman coming in, and I think you're going to get even more of that. What'd y'all think about the Flash trailer? Did you watch it?
Yeah, I thought it was really exciting. Like, just a chance to get to see Michael Keaton again as Batman sounds really cool, but it's kind of the same thought that I had with the Batman trailer as I kind of had with this one. And to me, it seems like kind of like a flaw of a lot of superhero movies is when they try to squeeze too many characters or too many villains into one movie and try to have enough time to flesh them all out.
Yeah.
So, like, with both of them, on one hand, I'm excited, but on the other hand, it's like, you gotta, like, reintroduce the Michael Keaton Batman. There was, like, three different Flashes in the trailer from what I remember. Yeah. Then you still, since Ezra Miller's Flash hasn't had any kind of backstory because he was just kind of tossed into the Justice League so quick, like, you still gotta go through the story with his mom and him changing the timeline.
Probably well, have there's to explain, two of them in this trailer as well, right?
Right, yeah. And then you probably have to explain Reverse Flash at some point to some degree. And it's just a lot of different things to juggle. And so while on one hand, like I said, I'm excited to see where they go with it, I'm just kind of worried that there's, like, too many things going on at once. And, you know, it's killed better movies like, you know, Spider-Man 3 with all the villains, and then Amazing Spider-Man with a million villains in it. And it's like, you know, you have to be careful with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but at the same time, you also get multiple villains in those two Avengers Endgame and Infinity War movies, where Thanos basically has his squad, and we never need to be like, oh, I want to learn more about that one person, you know, that one bad guy that Ebony Maw or whoever the hell that Thanos has in his squad. I think sometimes you can just have villains and explore them in other ways. I mean you did have Batman Returns, which is a great one, and I'm gonna go ahead and say the biggest villain of Spider-Man 3, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 3, the biggest villain there was the writer's strike of 2007, because that was that definitely affected their ability to clean up that script, which is that script is rough, and they weren't able to rewrite it while during production. So we got what we got.
I'm like your Venom. I'm excited for this Flash movie more than any of the other DC stuff that came out, because that's one of my favorite comics too, Flashpoint. I think that's a really great kind of reset to a lot of things. I feel like DC's preparing to do another reset with a lot of their IPs. And
the new Flash 52?
The new 52. So yeah, I feel like we're getting that refresh, man.
Superman, while we're talking about this topic of, I don't know, all the social stuff going on in the U.S., Superman changed his justice
motto.
His motto was truth, justice in the American way. And now it's truth, justice,
and a better tomorrow,
which just makes me think that, like, Chaya and Fat's going to be involved somehow, because the Better Tomorrow movies are fucking awesome. Those John Woo movies with Chaya and Fat, like, shooting a bunch of gangsters. And all I can think of is like, yeah, involve Chaya and Fat, call it truth, justice, the American in a better tomorrow. And, like, Superman teams up with Chay and Fett, and they kill some people.
So we're gonna see Superman flying through, like, a bunch of pigeons, because that's all he does. There's a bunch of pigeons with Superman capes just flying everywhere with him.
See, I'm into it. I'm into it. Superman has, like, a standoff with other villains and superheroes. I'm down. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how Superman just doesn't whip all their asses, but I'm into it. I'm into a John Woo Superman movie. Why not? Let's do that. You know what? Green light that.
Yeah.
Josh Jackson, run it up the chain of command.
All right, I'll get right on it.
Before the Suicide Squad, this James Gunn one, which I loved, came out. My favorite DC movie was Shazam, and we did get to see this new Shazam movie, some behind the scenes footage and some of that. I'm excited by Zach Levi and the squad coming back and going up against the various Olympic gods and that whole thing. It's called Shazam 2, Fury of the Gods. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. That looks fun. There's no real footage for the movie too much, but I like
when it's far that, away. It's June 2023. Yeah. So it's like a good year and a half from now.
Okay. Stay alive, Jonathan, because that movie looks fun. The movie that I did not know was even close to finished. I had known that they had cast some JSA members like Dr. Fate and that they had like Atom Smasher and stuff like that. So I knew that the movie had been casting and was in production, but I had no idea we were going to get it next summer is the Black Adam movie with The Rock. That I did not know that we were going to get that before Shazam 2, because clearly the third Shazam movie or the next Black Adam movie is going to be a Shazam Black Adam movie. Like that would just be the logical step, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That's what I got. And that's what I thought it was going to be. I just didn't think they were going to make a Black Adam movie, but you know, The Rock speaks hundreds and billions of dollars of sales across millions the world. And the millions. So to them, I mean, they'd rather just give him the spotlight, you know? I think they're just like,
well, and hasn't he been attached to that movie since like longer than there's been an MCU or something like that? Like,
I think
totally.
I think he actually pitched himself as Black Adam for a while. He even made some little conceptual art stuff, unofficial, by the way. And I think DC's like, let's just move forward, but he's too expensive, so let's save up 2 years of money and then and then pay for his bills, you know? That's pretty much what they did.
They're like, we'll surely make enough money with our Justice League and Batman versus Superman.
Guys, it reminds me of this story I heard about Michael Bay right before Pearl Harbor came out. And this is just a rumor. This is how it was told to be. Somebody I worked with, who was one of the executives, he could afford to go to a country club that Jonathan as a PA could not afford to back in the day. And at the country club in the locker room, Michael Bay was in there bragging to the other dudes in the locker room. Like, yeah, when Pearl Harbor comes out, I can fuck any girl in LA and I won't even have to wear a bag. and I was like, oh, and then Pearl Harbor came out and did not do well. Michael Bay probably still could do some of these the devious things that he wanted to. Allegedly, that is the story. But Bolt T, you know, he's saying, hey, make mine Marvel. Enough said. I watched one DC movie in the last 15 years, Wonder Woman 1984, and it was terrible. I'm like,
I mean, you chose the wrong one to start.
Yeah.
I only watched Thor 2 and say the same thing. Yeah.
You know, should have watched Teen Titans go to the movies.
Yeah.
There was a Thor 2? No.
The truth is, Bolt T, like, you should probably go watch Shazam.
Shazam is good.
Shazam. Yeah,
Josh said Teen Titans Go to the Movies, which is like meta, but it's really fun.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
I remember when Shazam came out and Michaela was like super burnt out on superhero movies to the point where she's like, I don't even want to go see this with you. And
I don't really want to date you anymore.
Yeah, right. And I dragged her along anyway, and she left being like, I love that movie. Like it felt so different, I think, than what we had seen at the time. And it had, you know, obviously all these movies have a certain level of humor, but I found the humor in Shazam a lot more wholesome. I don't know. I loved it and I cannot wait for more of it. So if you're going to choose one more Bolt T, I would go with Shazam for sure. If not Lego Batman, if that counts.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Lego Batman should definitely count as my favorite Batman movie. It should definitely count. Oh, now he doesn't mute his mic.
Yeah. Okay. He told me not to mute. I'm just listening.
Kidding, Derek. I'm being silly with you. I mean, speaking of the Suicide Squad, we definitely get that Peacemaker series.
Oh my goodness.
And the trailer for the Peacemaker series was probably my favorite thing that I saw coming out of DC fandom. That shit was hilarious.
That's good.
The spinoff.
When he's hugging the eagle, I would like.
The eagle is hugging him.
his dad to come take a picture. Like,
the music
is
awesome. I mean, I love John Cena's character as much as I despised him in the Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, spoilers, we're getting a spinoff from it, because if you got to watch the end credits in Suicide Squad.
That's true.
I thought this was great. It casting Robert I was going to say Robert Pattinson again, but casting him as his dad, the T-1000 as his dad. So and good. I mean, all the humor is there. Obviously, it's James Gunn, but I was like, how much more can you mine this character? A lot more.
Way more. Way more too. I didn't used to give John Cena too much credit because I would just see him always on WWE or like silly comedy one-off movies. But this is perfect for him. I've never seen a role so like spot on for one person. Mm. And just watching a trailer, I'm like, I'm in. I'm sold. I want to watch more of whatever this character is and get more back.
Yeah, I feel like watching Suicide Squad, it was so... I just felt like I was watching John Cena and it made it so much like funnier and like better. Like it didn't feel like it was a character for whatever reason.
Yeah. You know, and the question we're always asking ourselves whenever a wrestler goes to the big screen is do they have the charisma or the acting chops to do this? And clearly with The Rock, he absolutely does. Clearly. Yeah. And I think Batista does too.
Yeah.
With John Cena, like he is playing such a character close to himself in these that he's just having fun. I'm so down for this Peacemaker series.
No, like John Cena really sold me when I saw him in Blockers a few years ago. I caught it on a plane and I was like, dude, this is, he has like one role, but he plays it so well that you just need to keep casting him in that role. And I think he'll do great. And
the
Peacemaker trailer, I didn't even realize that James Gunn was attached to the show at first. And, but I mean, it showed completely through the trailer and that eagle scene, like you guys mentioned, it just had me dying. So over the moon.
I didn't realize it was so close too. It comes out in like January.
They started shooting in January. They started shooting before
crazy.
They
knew. Yeah.
And let's face it, like the Suicide Squad did not do the big box office that people expected it to. Maybe it did great on HBO Max and Warner Brothers was like, that's good enough. But knowing that the series had started production six months before the Suicide Squad even hit theaters and did what it did or didn't do, as Warner stockholders may think, that's huge and that's great. And I think that people may go back and discover the Suicide Squad John Cena character because of this. Who knows who watches more of the, you know, do the people watch more of the streamer? Like if you release Suicide Squad in theaters,
right?
Which Disney, I guess very smartly did not do with Shang-Chi. They said theaters only and Shang-Chi did like 80 million. It did really well. As did James Bond and Venom 2. You know, how much does streaming dent a streaming option, day and date option, how much does it dent
right.
that box office? Because maybe that's what happened with the Suicide Squad. But Warner Brothers sat back and was like, you know what? It's getting huge numbers on HBO Max. We're happy with this. Let's keep that Peacemaker going. I just don't know the math on that stuff.
Yeah, I think more than anything, merch sold the most for that. I never seen so many people go off and buy King Shark figurines, plushies. They were sold on that character because Sylvester Stallone is voicing this kind of... It's like having Vin Diesel as Groot and then you have King Shark as Sylvester Stallone. It's such a weird thing to say, but it worked. And
don't count on Polka Dot Man.
Oh, Polka Dot Man. He's VP, bro. He's VP. But you know what I mean? Like, I think that's what happened is they knew they wanted to play it safe. They had already two strikes, right? Birds of Prey didn't do so well. And that first just is, the other movie I don't talk about because Joker's in there. It's not that good. And I think they were just playing it
real safe. But it did amazingly well.
Yeah.
It did. Well, I don't know.
Huge.
Did it?
That first Suicide Squad movie made well over $100 million that weekend.
Oh, my God. So they made their money.
Huge. And I think for the most part, the Birds of Prey movie was a modest hit and did well. But this movie...
It's awesome. It should have been on theaters.
It did the worst of all of them. And it was the best of all of them.
I mean, there's no way streaming didn't affect it, I feel. Didn't In the Heights have a similar thing where its box office was really low, but it was on HBO Max day one, too?
Yeah.
Well, so, and how many... That's got to be bringing so many people to HBO Max, though, too. And like just even at the point where Suicide Squad came out here, like I wonder how much... Like obviously international and Canada especially is a small market, but like when Suicide Squad came out, like I'm in a spot where even today when I ask anyone I know, like, have you been to the movies yet, have you watched anything in the theaters, like I'm the only one that is going apparently, and every movie I've been to there's five or six other people in there, like, which it's wild. And like nobody that I know that lives like not in the United States has seen this movie and it or is going to theaters at all. So like I don't know, like if we had an option like HBO Max up here, like I think like it would be huge, and it would be a, like it would be a blowaway hit for something like that here, and it would get so many people to sign up. And with something like that in the States, like I don't know what their subscription numbers are like yet, or if they've published that or anything like that.
But like for Justice League, supposedly Justice League standard cut did not give them the subscribers.
Really?
They wanted. Yeah. It also ran. They ran an advertisement a few years earlier called the actual Justice League movie in theaters that I don't think did a very good job of being like, "Hey, you got to check this out." But hey, this is pretty tight.
Just the idea that like, hey, give us $14 a month or whatever HBO Max costs, and like, you're not comfortable going to the movie theater yet, like that's fine. You can watch all of these movies on the same day that they come in the theaters. Plus like their library as a whole is really good, but the fact that you can watch these movies on day one, it seems unbelievable to me.
I don't understand how HBO Max then limits like pull, like here in the States, Suicide Squad's already off HBO Max. I'm like, where does it have to go?
Movie. You weren't going to watch it in the first 30 days, but now you'll go to the theater to see it or something like
the Blu-ray. I don't know what, I don't know what the logic is there. Cause obviously when something's on Netflix, it lives on Netflix. And
I think a lot of things have the 45 day like digital distribution for rentals and for digital purchases. So I think it's probably like there's a period of time where it's not available for free with the subscription. So you'd have to pay Apple or Google or whoever you rent movies from.
It's their movie.
Yeah.
Trying to milk it, man. It could be a contract
thing.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a theater that tried to sue Universal or something like that because they had a deal saying they were had like exclusive theater rights? Yeah.
AMC was going to get rid of their deal with Universal because of that thing after the Troll World Tour came out. Oh, and they were like, no. You did not get to get all the profit from the Troll World Tour. AMC wants Troll World Tour money.
Didn't Tenet have that same problem as well?
Yeah, Tenet, I think, was like, we are going to be in the theaters at IMAX no matter what. And we're like, okay, wait and see.
That was really weird. But I would say to Derek's conversation, what she mentioned, why were people kind of hopping? I think what happens is that your curiosity ends at HBO, and then you see all the acquisitions they have. Like they have the entire Batman animated series.
Right.
Yeah, Batman Beyond. The Harley cartoon, which I think is hilarious. If you have not seen it,
just watching. I've not seen the Harley cartoon, but seeing the trailer on,
it's really good.
Trailer in this DC fandom stuff, it looked hilarious.
It's really good. It's really good.
Ian Kerner won't shut the hell up about it.
Yeah, it's really good.
He won't shut the hell up about it.
Yeah.
The other, I would say, as much as excited I was about, I love the Suicide Squad. You know what I was really excited about? The Rocksteady game Suicide Squad. It looks like it has co-op and you can play as your King Shark and Captain Boomerang
Killshot. And sounds awesome.
And Harley Quinn.
It does, yeah.
I was disappointed that, like, when did this game get announced? Like, it was quite
a long time ago.
Yeah. So, like, a year and we're a year down the road and you didn't show any gameplay at this event? Like, that was a big disappointment. But, like, the game looks... Like I love the fact that it's current gen only, so they don't have to target PS4 or Xbox One or anything.
You have nine Xboxes.
I mean, if you tie them together, they get even more powerful.
So anyway, Derek's the only person who got multiples of each. Josh can get multiples of each, but he's nice enough to sell them to his friends and share the wealth. Derek's up there hoarding in Canada.
Yeah, I do what I can.
I only have two Xboxes. The Series S, which is the second one we bought. You could go on Amazon right now and get it delivered tomorrow. Like that is not a hard console to find at this point. Not in Canada. I don't know about the States.
I guess I'll just play Hades.
Well, the Xbox mini fridge comes out tomorrow over here. I don't know if you're planning on getting that, Derek.
What is that?
I'm getting it.
Yeah, when they first showed the Series X, everyone joked that it looked like a refrigerator. So they're actually coming out with a refrigerator that's going
like
out
a
for
mini
pre-order
fridge
tomorrow
that holds like 10 cans and like a couple of snacks. It was funny because they announced that and they were like, "Oh, it'll be available for order in Canada and the U.S. via Target." And then Target doesn't exist here, and Target.com you cannot put in a Canadian address. So like 4 hours later, they were like, "Actually, this won't be available in Canada via Target. We're trying to figure out something else."
Josh, you got some work to do to get Derek his
Xbox fridge through the store, the Xbox Gear store, at some point in December. It sounds like, but
tell me,
that was pretty funny.
What's the story on this? This sounds amazing. It's a fun, really funny corporate joke. How much does this thing run, and does it have features beyond just being a fridge?
No, I think it does not have features beyond being a fridge.
Well, it does have
US dollars.
It does
have a USB port.
USB
so you port. Can charge your devices,
so you could, yeah. You could plug in your controls into the fridge while you play. So, and I think it makes all the same sounds when you turn it on and stuff. I think when the Series X first came out, they released a full size fridge too, but they only gave it away as
sent
promotion.
Like a couple YouTubers and
like Snoop Dogg.
How big is this?
They had the mini fridge. It holds like 10 cans. So I like.
But it has to be Monster. It has to be Mountain.
No, Monster's like PlayStation shit, man.
Yeah.
I'm putting Modelos in there. That's what I'm doing. I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking way ahead with this. Modelo times anytime, bro.
That's insane. I am looking forward to this Suicide Squad game. I did not see the Court of Owls trailer. I just didn't get to it, but that looks. I mean, I was already sold because it's like the Bat Family as co-op.
Like, yeah, it sounds fun. Yeah, yeah. I struggle with that sort of game in that like it's.
Can we talk about this, Derek? From Geekscape Games, it sounds when you can't figure out fucking Viva Pinata.
Viva Pinata is really hard.
Viva Pinata is complicated. I'll stand up for that.
It's complicated, but I wouldn't call it hard. You just need to know how to like breed fictional creatures.
I mean, I wasn't that like I checked out of Pokemon like before they had the daycares where they would breed and stuff. So that's
like the second game.
That's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, was that in like Gold and Silver? I played Gold and Silver. Those were the problem.
Gold and Silver's where it debuted. Yeah.
Video games are what?
Is your problem video games or is it patience, Derek?
Oh, probably both.
You're telling me you don't pick up this Viva Pinata and you don't immediately be like, "Hey, I wonder if that llama over there, that llama pinata can fuck."
I never
that
even
snake
saw
pinata.
A llama. Okay, I was promised llamas, and
you never just thought like that. Like, hey, that one looks like a ferret. I wonder if it can bang the snake. You never just thought that.
No, I didn't.
You didn't play Viva Pinata to see like if the animals could. Oh, Derek,
they're just eating limiting your imagination, like, man.
Yeah, bro, what's up? Come on.
But like the funny thing too, I one of those poor souls that still follow the Avengers subreddit for the game, and like everybody's pretty much just moved on in the whole sub. It's almost like, remember when Arrow turned into a Daredevil sub for a little while because they thought Arrow sucked so bad? It's almost turning into like a Suicide Squad / Court of Owls sub because everyone's just like, all right, time to move on. I hope those games are good, but kind of what you said, Derek, how they haven't showed gameplay for either one. It's like,
there was a Gotham Knights a year ago. There was a Gotham Knights gameplay trailer or like gameplay walkthrough. And it looked fine. It looked cool. It looked like it was probably on a PS. Well, it would have been like a year ago. So it would have been like a PS4 or an Xbox One. So it like looked significantly worse than the in-engine stuff that we saw from the Suicide game this past weekend. But we didn't see gameplay for Suicide Squad for sure, especially because it comes out like next year. That said, I think what they showed was like in engine and it looks like it's probably going to look spectacular. And it's kind a freaking Rocksteady game, so it's gonna probably be awesome. But the whole like premise of it sounds super cool. To be in a video game,
and they pretty much gave away why we're supposed to kill the Justice League, which I thought was cool. Like, they didn't spell it out, but if anyone who knows anything about DC pretty much had an idea of what's going on. So cool. And then speaking of how Carlos is talking about Sylvester Stallone being King Shark, did you guys know that Samoa Joe is King Shark in the game?
Oh, no,
really?
Yeah.
I remember meeting him like 20 years ago at a Ring of Honor event in Philly. Mm. He's the nicest dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met him really at E3 one year, and dude was super nice.
That's awesome.
Super nice guy. So that makes me happy. I'm glad to see that cool. Dude's doing his
Congrats.
Thing.
Yeah.
Must have given him something to do between injuries.
Yeah, probably.
Well, that's just the reality of the profession.
Yeah. And then just with Court of Owls, I'm just excited to hopefully play a game where Nightwing doesn't get killed off like a fucking idiot again. Like Injustice made me so mad when I saw how they killed him off in Injustice. I was just like, are you kidding? Because I'm a huge Nightwing guy, so. Yeah. I'm like, any excuse to be able to kill him or play as him where he doesn't get killed?
It's a good question.
The developer on this court? Who's the developer on this Court of Owls game?
Oh, I don't remember.
What studios is
developer
this?
Developer is WB Games Montreal. So they
isn't that who made Origins? Or
they did Arkham Origins. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. your gamer said Batman Arkham Oranges.
Is that okay? Like, were we down with the Arkham Origins?
Arkham Origins, I thought was really fun. It was like the worst Arkham game, but the worst Arkham game is still an Arkham game. Mm.
Okay.
I thought it had excellent boss fights, but like worse everything else, including bugs. Yeah. Like, I remember it being really buggy.
I remember buying it on the Wii U for some reason instead of like one of the other consoles, and it did not play very well.
What the hell, Derek?
It had some gimmicky Wii U gamepad like feature, and I'm a sucker for gimmicks, so obviously that was the one I bought, and it played very
That's why you have 9 Xboxes, because you're like, never again!
I rented it on Wii U, so that might explain some things.
I tried to throw a Batarang, and I broke my window. I threw my gamepad across the room. Wow. So speaking of video games Derek may or may not be good at, we've got this update to Animal Crossing.
I don't have the patience for Animal Crossing. What are you talking about?
You hold up, okay, Derek. Don't take out your anger on Animal Crossing, okay? This is supposed to make
Lay off, bro.
Okay. Don't pull a Tom Nook and get mad at us. So Animal Crossing New Horizons is getting this new feature, a bunch of new features in November. Some of this is free, some of this is not free. Is that right, Josh?
Yeah, so basically almost all of the new content that's coming is free. And then the part that you have to pay extra for, it's essentially a sequel to the Happy Home Designer game on 3DS.
Yay!
But instead of being
Josh's favorite game.
But yeah, instead of being like a standalone game, it's just part of this. And they're saying that some of the house designing features in the DLC are going to also carry over to the main game, so you'll have more control when it comes to designing the interiors and all of that.
Okay, let me get this straight. You're going to get a bunch of whole new free crap, and then if you played Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer, you can migrate some stuff into this game from there. So your 3DS get turned on again after a year and a half of not turning it on at all.
Well, not the 3DS version, like this paid DLC is essentially a sequel to that, but that's also
like
on Switch.
It's an island that you go to, isn't it?
Okay, so your 3DS is going to stay over on its shelf somewhere untouched. I don't know when the last time y'all played your 3DS.
I mean, when's the last time you guys played Animal Crossing?
I mean, I played my 3DS to prepare for Metroid Dread, trying to play the Metroid Samus Returns game that they made before this.
Okay, yeah.
So that's worth going back for, but... Yeah, I haven't played Animal Crossing since my inventory maxed out, which is usually when I always stop playing Animal Crossing.
Oh, yeah. Which but is getting said, doubled as part of this update, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'm going to have to jump back into it now.
Yeah.
I liked the Mario stuff. I thought it was cool that whenever you lay a pipe, like whenever you put like two pipes in.
You almost say
island,
lay a pipe.
Whenever you lay that, whenever you pinch a loaf on your island, whenever you lay the pipes, the Mario pipes, the warp pipes on your island, you can warp pipe to another part of the island. I thought that was kind of cool that you could use the pipes to not have to walk your ass across the island. I thought that was a fun Mario themed thing, but there's just not enough on this game for me. I don't know. I think this one tears it. I don't know if I'm going to go back and do this. It, you know, obviously I'm on my Switch playing Hades and Metroid Dread. I have not put a lot of time into, but I am definitely a fan of it. I think it looks awesome. I think it plays awesome. Once you get the controls down, I think you're rocking in this game, because I actually think that these controls this is kind of where I wanted a 3D. I know I've said it on the show a million times that I wanted a 3D Metroid. I want another 3D Metroid. I want another 3D open galaxy Metroid. And I like the idea of that on a Switch. I like the idea of that with some of the waggle we got in the original 3D Prime Metroids. But this game, it feels like some of the controls take a little bit of time to get used to. I am just only at 282 missile tanks, so be patient with me. But am I wrong in saying that this game also early on scares the crap out of you when you start getting hunted by this killer robot through the level? Mm-hmm. That's some intense crap.
Yeah, it's excellent. I love games like that where you have this like unkillable monster that's chasing you all over the place. It's so awesome. And it's something I never expected from Metroid. So when that started, it was just such a cool surprise, you know?
I feel like I don't like that. Like when I never played Resident Evil 2 until the remake came out. And as soon as Mr. X showed up, I like lost interest in the game because I'm like, I'm already too spooked.
That you're not good at these games.
I'm already too spooked from all the zombies. I'm taking my time because I want to explore things and I don't know what's going on. And then like he's just in every room you go in, basically. I don't know. It made it too stressful, which is I understand is the point. But
yeah,
well, gotta step up, Derek.
See, for me, I feel like it's a little bit different just because with say Resident Evil 2, I agree with what you're saying. Like in that game, it felt like a hindrance because you're just trying to play the regular game, but this monster just keeps interrupting you. But with Metroid, at least I haven't played too far in it either, but so far those monsters are part of the puzzle of the, of that area.
Okay.
So yeah. It's kind of built, escaping them is built into the level design, and they're kind of locked in a very specific zone. So if you start getting stressed out or you want to take a break and think about it a little bit more,
you can leave those areas
and it doesn't follow you anymore after a certain boundary. So
and when they do catch you, the cutscene is so fast, and it's not like it sets you, it's not like it puts you back to like a save chamber or a place like that. It gives you a checkpoint that you go back to right before you encounter that area. So it, the areas aren't huge. The areas are basically one or two puzzle pieces of getting around it. It's either being chased by the monster in parallel, so like it can't get to you because of a column or something, and you have to kind of race your way up platforms and that kind of outrace it in a sense, so you can get further along before it can actually cross that pillar to get to you. Or like the sequence that I'm in now, it took me a while to figure out, but if I survive long enough and find myself to a certain corner, there's a pressure switch that I sit on, that I can stand on, that releases water, and then by the time I'm standing on it long enough, the creature starts, the robot starts to catch up to me, and I have to kind of escape and come back to it. Because if I stand on that pressure point, that pressure plate long enough, a certain part of that area fills with water to raise a platform, float a platform up so they can access another area and escape and move on with the rest of the map. And just figuring that out, that, oh, I have to repeat this process and continue to evade this killer robot, I thought that was really fun. It does get stressful, but I've kind of resigned myself to, it's probably going to kill you a few times while you figure this out, and it's not going to set you back that far. So just dig it and die and go, keep, like Josh said, keep using the, look at them as a puzzle, as a part of the puzzle solving, and less as a, holy crap, this is murdering the hell out of me repeatedly over and over again. How frustrated am I right now?
Yeah. I think people, are calling this the most difficult Metroid, which I can sort of agree. The only thing is that I don't think nobody picked up Samus Returns on the 3DS because it was right when the Switch had already come out. So playing this one to me felt easy because I was able to do counter everything. Of course, the robot thing, that's a new thing, which is still kind of hard for me to get the animation for it. But
and they don't flash on the counter.
So your better bet for me was to play the 3DS one, understand the system that they were implementing with this one,
and are the controls the same?
Yeah, controls are kind of the same. You have like the triggers, and then you have like you don't use the control. Sure. You use the control stick or the D-pad. But the difficulty is there. Like it's really hard. Like if you die, you die. You kind of get the same thing. You have to learn counters even when you're jumping in air. So picking up this one was just like I was just running it through. I think I'm halfway already. And the game wants you to break it. So that's the thing about these Metroid games. So you can get items that you can get later on in the game really early if you get certain power-ups. And that's how Super Metroid was, and that's how Fusion was as well.
You're talking about circumventing portions of the map to access other areas?
Yep.
It'll allow you to do that naturally. You aren't going online and finding some kind of weird wiggle through a hole.
I mean, you kind of figure out, like, the game is structured so that you're learning, like, oh, I could do bounce balls. You know, you could do the bounce balls.
Sure.
And then you question yourself, oh, there's something up there. I wonder if I can bounce my way and then do a charge and they could get over there. And it works.
To circumvent.
So you're just, you're just, and the places that this is happening are places where you're not being chased. So it's giving you the chance to try out all of Samus's abilities, and then you find out some of those abilities work with certain bosses. You're just like, oh man, it like clicks together. Or I don't want to spoil it, but there's a part in the game where you could get an item really early, and you could kill one of the bosses with one hit, which I found out randomly because I was like, oh, I just want this ability. I could get it. I can get it. And then I fought the boss, and I was like, wait, I could use this ability, but what if I didn't have the item? I guess the boss fight would have been longer. So this is what's great about this type of Metroid games, that they're seeing that people, you know, like Castlevania games, you can break a certain wall, get to a secret area, or find abilities you shouldn't be finding early on.
And you're going to find them here because, like Josh said, if you want just a timeout and don't want to enter an area where you're being constantly hunted, you'll just go back to the area you came from and explore the heck out of it. And just you'll look at the map and say, okay, like that little crevice right there, I think I can jump to it. Or is that something I can fit through? Or is that something I can jump to? And so I do find myself more thoroughly exploring the map in this game so far than in other Metroid games. So I can see how that is going to happen, where I end up kind of being like, okay, I'm not playing this linearly like a classic Metroidvania game. That being said, it goes back to my argument that the next Metroid game, please, should be open galaxy. It should be an open galaxy game in the same way that we have, that we did that with the Zelda franchise and the Mario franchise before that, way that we have an open world game where you explore different portions. And if you're not ready for that area, then you don't have the suit upgrade for that area, you know, or that, you know, asteroid belt or planet or derelict ship or whatever the heck you want to put out in this game. But I would love to see Metroid go open galaxy. I've said it a million times before, so I'm throwing it back out there.
I mean, who knows?
Accidentally will Federation Force 2 a new existence watch.
Oh god, no.
From the creators of Miitomo comes.
Oh my god.
Oh, you had me at Miitomo. Okay. You had my interest, now you have my curiosity. Now you have my attention. All right, so that's what's going on in gaming. We got to talk a little bit about this depressing news that Derek's going to be really sad about. I'm talking about the delay of the Marvel movies because of the strike. The strike may or may not happen. They said that the IATSE strike got avoided. I will not be surprised if they delay Spider-Man No Way Home, because it's so late in the stage right now. But the dubbing and some of the effects, they can't possibly be done for a December release. And I'm talking about the international translations and dubbing. That stuff's all union. I would anticipate Spider-Man sliding. And one of the, if they go back to a strike, the union members have to vote on whether or not they're going to strike or not.
I thought I'd read it could be 4 or 5 weeks before this vote even happens, and that they would just work until then. Like, surely Spider-Man would be probably that'll finished save by Spider-Man. Then. Yeah.
That being said, Marvel ain't messing around, and I know we're getting Hawkeye. We had a great new Hawkeye trailer for Hawkeye. We get 2 episodes Thanksgiving week, but Marvel went out today and they delayed their 2022 slate and said, okay, we got to push. I think, I don't know why, maybe it's a crowded marketplace or what. I think I needed a breather myself, but Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, we thought we were going to get it March 25th, and now moves to the big May slot that Marvel has had since Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 1, or maybe I think since X-Men. I have to double check that, but I think maybe Bryan Singer's X-Men was a May release. But that first weekend of May has always been a Marvel release weekend, definitely since Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. And now we have it on Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness on May 6th. That being said, the May 6th slot was already Thor Love and Thunder, which goes to July 8th of this summer. And Black Panther, which was July 8th, is moving to November 11th. And that's it for this year. As far as the other Disney stuff, we were supposed to get the new Indiana Jones movie on July 29th. That ain't happening. We're going to get it the following summer, June 30th. There's another Disney live action movie. No idea what that was. It was supposed, it's been removed from the schedule entirely. It was supposed to be next summer, but the domino shift keeps going with these. Mm-hmm. The sequel to Captain Marvel, The Marvels, was supposed to be 11/11/22. That's the date that they gave to Wakanda Forever. They've moved that to February 17th, 2023. Ooh. And that was supposed to be the Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. So that has moved to July 28th, 2023. The one that didn't move that we know is Guardians of the Galaxy. That's sticking to that May 5th, as Jonathan says, first weekend in May date. So we are going to get that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 that did not move. That stays put. I don't really know what the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special is, but that's
probably still done already. That's
a Disney Plus thing. I don't know if that's animation. I don't know anything about that one, but that's a lot of sliding going on in Marvel. Derek thought we were going to talk about the Why the Last Man cancellation, didn't you?
You swerved me a little bit there, for sure. Yeah,
threw a little rope-a-dope on that one.
Which is funny. You mentioned that at the beginning of the show, and Big Yanks in the chat learned via this episode that Why was canceled. Last night I was driving home, and I was filling my car with gas, and I see a text from Katie that was like, just read about Why the Last Man, damn. And I just knew in my heart right away. And then Googled it and then like finished pumping my gas, got back in the car and just like turned to Michaela and she thought I was gonna cry. And it was like, I was just like, Why the Last Man got canceled. And shut up, you know, just like, I've been waiting. Like, we talked just before the premiere or just after the premiere. Like, that's like one of my favorite, or probably my favorite book. And I feel like I have been waiting for this for half of my life. And so many like moments of excitement, like there's a movie coming. Oh no, there's not a movie happening anymore. Oh, there's a movie coming again. Oh no, not anymore. It's going to be a TV show. Like so many times of like excitement and disappointment. And then before the first season's, and then they have a big plan for like all of the episodes and however many seasons. And then before the first season's done, Katie tells me via text message as I'm filling my car with gas that the dream is over. It was a very sad moment.
I was imagining Michaela looking outside and you're filling gas and then suddenly you just start pouring the gasoline on yourself. And you're just like, that's it. I'm done. I'm checking out. This is Derek, the last stand.
Did they explain why it got canceled? Like,
I think low viewership was the reason.
I think it's nobody really said, and it sounds like there was kind of a statement from the showrunner talking about how they learned that FX is not moving forward with more of it, and that everyone
they
is
didn't
still
say
very,
Hulu. They said FX, yeah.
Yeah, FX on Hulu, sorry, the statement said. And that they're still very committed to it and they are going to try to find it another home. Does that happen? It's really hard to say. It looks like it must be an incredibly expensive show, I would guess, based on like just the post-apocalyptic setting and how good it generally looks. It feels like an expensive show. And so if it's not big enough for FX to continue, then I could imagine it being a hard sell as well. It was interesting. Pia Guerra, who is the co-creator and artist of the book, she sounded quite upset naturally on Twitter last night after this came out. She said, a show put together mostly by women with sensitivity, thoughtfulness, challenging a corrupt status quo, demolishing the male gaze. Of course, that would freak out certain companies devoted to that base. Just saying. And no, it wasn't FX. We chose to work with them because they were amazing and committed to creative freedom. I'm talking about the ones who bought FX long after the deal was cut.
Yeah, and that's something that happens a lot where you have a regime change based on a purchase or just a regime change, like a regime change. Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of house clearing. And, you know, maybe Disney bought FX in the Fox acquisition. They had a major, you know, they now own FX. They already had a piece of Hulu and they looked up and they were like, yeah, we don't necessarily get this. You know, this was the old regime that got this. That being said, I think the show was a really fun expansion on the comic. I know that there have been complaints online that
it's not faithful.
I don't think they're going to go into your house and rip out your comics. I don't think they're going to. You still have your books. You still have those things
that they've expanded on. Like we get so much more hero and so much more of the Washington stuff. Which is interesting. I'm finding that very interesting in the series, and we're getting so more of it than we really got in depth in the books. And yeah,
somebody called it infrastructure porn. They're like, oh, we don't want to know how like the president's going to try and put everybody back on their feet after this disaster. I'm like, okay, well, she needs a narrative.
We just want to see York find his girlfriend.
We just want to see a dude like thumbing like with his thumb out walking across the United States. That's what you want as a series. I hate to tell you, I love the series. I think it's great. I didn't like that ending. And I know a lot of people didn't like that ending. And the TV show was setting itself up to be more expansive and involve more characters and give it a better chance that if you didn't like the ending, if they kept the ending from the book, there's a lot more characters whose stories they can satisfy. And it gives a chance for those stories to be satisfied as well and have a better ending. So I don't get the hate on Why the Last Man. I think that's misplaced, and I really think that it's dangerous to cancel a production that is predominantly done by women and has a bunch of that stuff going for it. I'm thinking about Glow. Glow is a series that I wish got that fourth season, or at least some kind of movie to finish it up. That story is not finished. It's a female showrunner, predominantly female cast and creatives.
Yeah,
these things need a chance. And I'm not just saying like, oh, only finance it, because I know this is a business, but like Breaking Bad was about to get canceled and they didn't. They gave it a little bit of time and it caught on. Uh-huh. Remember that? And
well, and at that, you're at the point here, this has been what, how many episodes have aired? Six, seven? Like,
I think it's a 10 episode season.
It's 10 episode season. Yeah.
And I think there's eight just came out.
Okay. And also it's like in a lot of places, it's very hard to watch. Like it doesn't stream anywhere in Canada. You have to have cable and you have to have FX on cable to watch it. You can't subscribe to FX without having cable. I have a Hulu account, but
okay, never mind.
But which doesn't, you know, isn't technically a thing here. So that's very few people that would be utilizing that. So yeah, like I think it could, if it had a chance and if it had time, it could go big. Does it get picked up? Is someone else going to pick it up? Like, I could see, you know, I could see it's somewhere like HBO or something would have a budget. They're about to have a huge post-apocalyptic series with The Last of Us, though. Is there room for two of those in the same company slate?
Crossover.
Probably not. you know, also, of course, HBO Max makes sense because this Vertigo being a DC property, like, it kind of fits home there. But then you've also got like somewhere like Netflix, which also has like Vertigo stuff happening with Sandman, and was Lock and Key Vertigo as well?
Lock and Key was not, it was IDW, but
IDW, similar
content.
So, you know,
I mean, Sweet Tooth was.
Yeah, Sweet Tooth was.
Sweet Tooth was Vertigo.
Thank fuck Sweet Tooth got renewed. Like,
I'm in.
If Sweet Tooth got canceled, who knows? Like, I really loved Heat. This is not comic book related, Derek, but Heels on Stars was so good. And Derek, is that going to get a second season? Who knows?
Derek's like, I got to go fill the car with gas again. We just filled up. And then you look outside and Derek's just like sitting there putting gasoline on himself. Not this time. This one broke me. Bolt T says, Preacher is my favorite book and the TV series is no one's favorite show. I don't even like bringing up Preacher in conversation anymore. Yeah, well, we're sorry about that one, man. Really sorry about that one. That one surprised all of us because we really enjoy Preacher. Yeah. So I'm sorry, Derek. Let's just cross our fingers. Let's hold out hope that a Netflix or a Tubi or what was that one that you liked that you had that we had for like a week?
Quibi.
Yeah, it's maybe Quibi.
You don't even remember the name?
No.
Voodoo.
It lasted for. Yeah. Let's get. Yeah. So let's just hope somebody picks this up because I thought everything about it was really, really good and well done.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, friendos, that's what we got for this episode. I think we learned a lot about ourselves and each other. I think we had ourselves a little talk, a little catch up. We learned that Josh is willing to wait in line for anything, pretty much. I mean, if it's not that, it's like the WWE pop-ups at WrestleMania or this and that. Like, Josh is always waiting in line for stuff.
The Greninja Amiibo, we waited overnight for that one, remember?
We did. So that being said, like... You know, Josh is really good, and he's the man with the plan. He is our personal Shades. Not only that, he found me a Metroid Dread amiibo, and I'm going to find out a way to get it later this week. Is that right, Josh?
Yeah, I have it right over here.
Get the two-pack, the Metroid Dread two-pack?
Yeah.
All right, Josh, if you get an extra one, how about your boy?
I actually did order an extra one by accident, so I got you.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
You better. We'll talk.
He's good, Carlos.
Meet you outside of Toys R Us, and it will be two times retail.
I'll meet you Josh, behind the porn games.
All right, so Josh, maybe I'll drive over there. Let me see, Thursday, Friday. We'll figure this out. I'll do a little Shades pickup with you. Take it a coffee, figure this out, and get you going. Okay, buddy.
Yeah, that works.
Josh is good. You can hear more Josh, Carlos, and Derek on Geekscape Games. Subscribe to it, and you know what? We got like 18 shows here on the network. Just search for Geekscape. You can subscribe to all of them. We got everything from horror movies. The horror movie night folks, we got the wrestling, we've got what else, we got music with One Hit Thunder, we got female filmmaking, we've got comedy podcasts with 91 Doc Elaine. We got a full network here going on with Geekscape. This is just the flagship show. This is just the this is like a little introductory drug. You get it free and then you're like, oh, I'm hooked. And now that you're hooked, subscribe to it. Not only that, hook your friends. Okay, hey, you over there want to hit, tell your friends Geekscape's here for them. Maybe hit that share button right now and send it over to their device and be like, hey, why don't you take a hit of this? A bunch of nerds talking video games and comics and stuff. Yeah, right up your alley. I'd love that if you did. I really would. Maybe leave a review on one of these podcatchers you listen to, like Apple Podcasts or maybe the Spotify. That helps us out. That helps our visibility, helps us grow the network. We got a lot of cool stuff coming. LA Comic Con, we got some panels going down. Maybe you'll see some of these fools on those panels. Maybe you'll hear from them. Won't be Derek. but we'll be present. Anything else to add, my friends? We did the solicitation. We did the coverage.
But we didn't get the Crypto the Superdog game.
Well, Josh, I think it's perfect for Geekscape Games to talk about that. All right.
Game of the year 2021.
I think maybe. Geekscapists, we love you. You can find them on their socials. Carlos's socials being?
Anger Bananas, everything.
Okay. Derek's socials being? He's not social. That's why he grew his hair out. He hasn't seen the sun in 5 days. I'm just
kidding, Derek. I'm not pale based on the light. This is my actual skin color.
What are your
going
socials?
Going for what we do in the shadows look for Halloween. I'm at D. Granville on Twitter.
That's a show I'm loving right now. Yeah, I'm loving that. Yeah. Okay.
Not canceling that one, FX. Mm-hmm. Please don't. I can't handle it.
And Josh Jackson, where will we find you?
And I'm at Enu Joshua just about everywhere.
Okay. I'm at Jonathan Lennon on Twitter. You can find us anywhere. Just look for Geekscape. That's on all the different platforms. We love you. We got fun stuff coming up for the rest of the crew. Geekscape forever, over and out. Don't hate, create, and peace.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.